It was Moriyama on 18th August 79.
So you were able, at this 1955 eclipse, to locate very precisely... was there just one main active region?
Yes, coordinated.
Right, so it was not confusing then. tell me about the construction of this 10-meter dish. That was the largest dish in Japan, I guess, at that
yes,
time.
Yes, at that time, it was a very large dish, not only in Japan, but also in the world, because it was mounted on an equatorial mountain. From the first beginning, aimed at to radio astronomy.
Mm-hmm.
And this 10-meter equator dish was constructed in 1953 and occasionally used for the centimeter observation, such as eclipse measurement, but normally it operated at 200 megacycles.
I see.
To measure the polarization. To make a polarization observation of a solar radio burst.
Mm-hmm. But it was built in Japanese factories and
of course.
At your specifications.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Now, I have a gap here in your publications of 4 or 5 years. Uh-huh. Did you do something else besides radio astronomy?
No. I suppose during
56 to 60.
Yeah. And I was involved to observe the solar radiation up to 67 and 100 megahertz.
Very low frequencies.
Very low frequencies.
Yes.
At first, I was interested in the behavior of a change, of radio flux of at the very low frequencies.
I see.
But it is rather difficult to measure the solar radiation at the low frequency with a small antenna.
Right.
So I constructed the interferometer with 3 or 4 elements,
yes.
I don't really remember exactly.
Right. Each element was a Yagi?
Yagi, yes. And there's spaced about 60 or 50 wavelengths.
Mm-hmm.
And so with this interferometer, we can
get the fringes.
Fringes, interference pattern, and
right.
the variation of solar flux is easily seen. And so during this year, for the first year, I am completely involved to make the construction of
this
equipment. And after that, we make some observation and of the daily and also hourly change of the solar radio flux at these frequencies. But the behavior is very complicated, and I made two papers in Japanese.
In Japanese, that's why they're not here. Yes.
But I cannot represent them in.
Okay, a change of location after getting kicked out of that room. Why did you publish those papers in Japanese? Why did you publish the papers in Japanese and not in English?
Normally, the Japanese publication is a draft for the English
I see.
And we couldn't make a good result
I see.
So only draft is rejected.
But then it seems that beginning around 1960 or so, mm-hmm. that you began working on H2 regions and uh-huh. the theory of free emission. Mm-hmm. Why did you make this change?
Oh, for me it is not a change, because as I told you, while I was a student, I was studying astral spectroscopy.
I see.
Mainly I was interested in the early type stars. and so from the early time when I joined the Radio Astro group in Tokyo Observatory, and I was thinking of observing not sun but stars.
I see. But you never did look at stars, did you? Or did
yes,
you?
Yes, at that time the receiver of observatory is not good at quality. So yes. It is very hard. It was very hard to observe H2 regions.
Right, but you wanted to observe them even in the early 1950s.
Precisely, in 1949, I read the paper written by Ubi, the famous English astronomer.
By whom?
Ubi. In monthly notes.
Woolley.
Woolley.
Yes. Raleigh. I know. Yes, I know the paper you mean. Right. Mm-hmm.
And he explained that galactic background radiation is composed of H2 clouds.
Right.
And I'm interested in that paper.
I see.
And in near future, I'd like to observe individual H2 clouds. So I was considering how much radiation is expected around the O and the B early stars.
Right.
So it is a little
But it was only 10 years later that you were able to do some of this these calculations for the early type stars. When were the first actual observations of H2 regions done in Japan? After you changed in 1965.
Yes.
So all you could do was to look at other people's data. You have this paper in 1961 where you look at all the various radio observations and talk about how you can determine the distance using the exciting star and the emission measure and so forth. And the Strongman theory and so forth. Well, is there anything else that we've missed here up until about 1962 or so?
I don't know exactly. I don't know.
You don't remember?
Perhaps that must be all about myself.
Okay. Well,
as I told you, Dr. Kabani is also involved in radio research group from earlier days. So you should contact.
I should contact Akabani.
Akabani.
Yes. I wish he would come to a meeting so I could see him. Maybe I'll get to Japan someday. Okay. Thank you very much. That was the end of the interview with Moriyama on 19 August 79, and this is now beginning with